And now, from high atop the Camelback Towers in Scottsdale, from the Star Worldwide Network Studios, a man whose life revolves around his family, sports, grilling, and bad jokes, your host of the Dad Podcast, talking all things dad, here's Chris Brewer.
All right, another Thursday, another Dad Podcast. I have some big news. I haven't said this. I do this every week. I beat the GPS to get here by 2 minutes.
Nice.
Yes.
Congratulations.
And it looked like I was going to beat it by 1 minute, and then there was a chance to beat it by 2 minutes, and I'm like, come on, car, go. I got to beat it by two. I'd rather beat it by two than one.
That's called your foot on the gas pedal, Chris.
I did it. Well,
I
ride a bike here. So
you ride a bike?
Yeah, I ride.
How far?
45 miles.
That's a lie.
Yeah, it's a good huffy.
No. I don't believe that.
No,
maybe four or five.
No. But I do try to beat the GPS every week. And this week I beat it by 2 minutes.
Nice.
So kudos Bravo. To me.
I need a Homer Simpson button that goes woohoo.
Exactly. I've actually kind of had a crappy week, to be perfectly honest. I'm losing my boss, who I love at my current job, and he's leaving for a new adventure, and it came out of nowhere, and I'm still kind of working through that. You guys ever had a boss? Real quick, that just like, man, that was a good boss. Any of you?
Yeah. There's been a bunch of mentors, man.
Yeah.
I think the good bosses I consider mentors. And,
yeah,
you know, it's just time. If they're good enough, they're probably not staying at whatever they're doing for forever.
Oh, sure. It just, you know, it just stinks. You know, you enjoy working with someone. Starts to become a family. But, He'll do great things, but we're working through that, and it's partly why I wanted to bring on this particular guest, because it has a lot to do with what we're going to be talking today. You know, with our jobs and careers and everything. And I met him. I was doing improv off Broadway in Yonkers. This was about 1995. Yeah, 1995-ish. I was only like 19, and I was working at an Applebee's, just trying to make ends meet there, doing off Broadway. And he walked into Applebee's that night, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like a megastar to me. And he was in town. He was filming a new Red Roof Inn commercial, and then was just starting a new show. Remember the Drew Carey show? That was that funny show. And he sat down. He ordered, I'll never forget, he ordered a basket of Cajun fries and a pink lemonade. And we just started talking, and we have been friends ever since. He's a treasure to me. And you may remember, guys, remember the movie Mr. Mom?
Oh, of course.
We were going to have Martin Mull on today.
Seriously?
We were going to have Martin Mull on. He actually, Rob, I don't know if you know this, he's actually an accomplished painter now.
I did not know that.
Yes, and unfortunately, as you may know, if you know anything about painting, he inhaled some paint fumes. And that is why he couldn't be here today. So we were going to have Martin Mull on today, painting accident. But I wanted to bring him on. You're probably like, well, what does that have to do with, you know, jobs and everything? Do you guys remember the movie Mr. Mom? He was Terry Garr's boss.
Yeah, the creepy guy that was chasing
her around. He was the creepy guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you remember that movie, it's a comedy. It's funny. But, you know, it was deep there, too, because it got into, you know, work-life balance, what's going on at home, roles and everything. And, you know, she lands what she thinks is this great job, And like, and we'll get into this, like a lot of times where you think, oh, this pays so much and it's you know, I'm going to make way more than I was and everything. You know, there's strings attached with that, and you end up not being as happy. I bet you did not think we were going to be breaking down the movie Mr. Mom in today's episode.
That is a surprise.
Next week we're going to break down the Neverending Story. We will
just don't sing the song.
No, I actually love that song.
I know, but I have it in my head now that you said the name of the movie.
It's his pre-workout music.
Uh-oh.
I call myself Fall Core.
I am not touching that.
That's what she said. she probably did. So, you know, for me, I think for me the most important thing in a job is having a solid work-life balance. I think for me, right, that's more important than the money. But can I be there for my wife, for my family? Am I able to go see my kids' games, go to their practices, be able to pick them up from school? All that, I find that more important than if I was making another $20,000. Like, I wasn't looking for it, but I did have a headhunter reach out to me within about a year ago, and this job would have paid well more than twice what I'm making right now. And I was like, I don't even know. I don't know if I would want that, because I know everything that's attached to that dollar. That means you're away, and I even talked to my kids about this. I'm like, you know, that would mean I'm not home for dinner. That would mean I'm not picking you up from school anymore. That would mean probably not going to your games on Saturdays. There's stuff attached to those extra dollars. And I feel for me, out of a job, to be really happy, to have the ability to be involved at home is much more important. What's important for you guys in the job and how it affects the family?
So you're never going to believe this, but actually 2 nights ago, how many times have you met Stephanie, Chris? Like twice, maybe 2 or 3 times ever?
Oh yeah. Well, no, more than that, but yeah.
More than that.
Yeah.
So she says to me, cause she's been listening to the podcast 2 nights ago, she goes, you know, Chris Brewer really reminds me of our son Carter, to where if he's not enjoying his job and it doesn't make sense for who he is and his family, it's way more important that he does that than makes money. He wouldn't take a raise.
She just said
by
that
listening
2 nights
to the podcast.
Really?
Wow. She said that. Yep. That was pretty crazy that you brought that up right now. You know that living in the United States, you're in the top 5% of the wealthiest people in the world if you're on welfare.
Oh my God.
So if, and I'm not saying that as a political thing, what I'm saying is if you're here, it's just a matter of your, what's important to you and priorities, because you make enough money to live and to survive and to be doing pretty dang good. So what you're saying is absolutely true. And I think that lends itself to most of what we talk about on this podcast, and that's priorities in life. And what you're saying is, I mean, that's necessary, man. That's what life's about. It's not about money. And I think the more it's about money, the less you use have your view of, you know, your real priorities in life.
Oh, I totally agree. And I think I heard this at a conference. It was a tennis conference, I want to say about 5 years ago. And it stuck with me. And this was very successful director of tennis at a very well-to-do country club back east. And he said, and it doesn't have to be about tennis, because I think this is just in general with jobs. And he said, you know, people tend to jump from job to job too quickly. They always think, you know, the grass is going to be greener. And then they end up getting disappointed. And his advice was, if you can, try to create the job you want where you're at. And I thought that makes a lot of sense. And I think that's what I've been trying to do ever since I heard that. But that, I don't think that's possible all the time. I think that requires having a boss who's gonna, maybe you don't even have that conversation, but you just have a boss who's supportive, trusts you, allows you to be creative, and you just have that good relationship. But if you can find that, I think creating the job that you want where you're at is much better in the long run than just jumping from job to job like so many people do nowadays. What's important to you guys, Chris, Sean?
I think that, you know, just as far as, you know, the work-life balance thing, which is actually something that I talk to a lot of people about, right? And you know, unfortunately, that it is a, you know, necessary evil that we do need to work to live. But finding that balance of working to live and not living to work is an important thing to do. And yeah, Chris, I like what you had to say about, number one, creating your current position into something that you want, and I know that this is easier said than done a lot of the times, but finding yeah. finding that joy in your job, it's an important thing to do, right? Because we do spend, you know, Jason, maybe you know the statistics, it sounds like you might, but you know, anywhere from, you know, 40 to 100 hours a week or whatever, you know, in our workplace, we spend more time in our office than we do with our spouses, than we do with our kids. And even the four of us all have different, you know, very different jobs and schedules. And, you know, Jason, you have very long shifts and then have time off. You know, I'm in a position where I like what I do, but due to the fact of what I do, I meet with people after work hours. So guess what? I'm busiest after school. I'm busiest from 3 to 7, like that, you know, and that is what it is.
So would that be a goal within there to find a way to change that if you could? Like, hey, maybe I could, you know, figure out a way that the day ends at 5 somehow. Like, I think that's the constant, you know, challenge of making those little changes to continue to try to create the job that you truly want.
And not getting too hung up on the money, right. Like Jason said, like we all make enough money, right? So now when I say 3 to 7 are my busiest hours, if I wanted to make all the money that I could, I would work Monday through Friday, 3 to 7. Just, you know, nonstop. But I don't want to, because I do want to be there to go to a game, be there to pick up a kid, be there to participate in other things. So yeah, I will try to strike that work-life balance of, you know, giving up those hours in order to do things that I want to do.
So, listener, Chris Yarbrough owned a business for how many years did you own Kona's, Chris?
I had Kona's for 14 years in North State Bakery. For 14 years.
These businesses out of the same building. If you went to Chico State, listener, you went to this sandwich shop, and if you were eating some sort of bread, maybe a hamburger, chances are it was baked in Chris's shop. Would you say, Chris, because I being a small business owner is probably about the most challenging thing there is, would you say you were always trying to tweak it to create the best scenario for you and your family?
Yeah, that was the hardest struggle. And, you know, I've avoided commenting on stuff because I didn't want to just take up so much of the airtime, just with so many experiences.
Well, thanks for answering the question, Chris. We'll move yeah. on.
Yeah, a lot of okay. things. How about a lot of things?
Go on.
It was a constant struggle with that, because the biggest way for you to make a killing, make more income, is to be on top of payroll, and you know, that means you work a lot. So in turn, I did work a lot. When something broke, the phone rang, I got up, went and fixed it, or got somebody I needed to do it. It just, you walk out the door, but you never leave work. And that's something that's hard to communicate to people who haven't experienced it. Not saying that you can't get it, but it just, you really are never, you're never off. I would go on vacation, text, phone calls, everything, all hours of the day, just with problems of this and that, things that could be handled most of the time by the people I was talking to. But, you know, it was just a very draining thing, and it did put friction on family life and, you know, it at the benefit of financial gains. So it wasn't worth it to me. It was a lot easier starting off. But the way that the culture and the economy shifted, and the dynamic in Chico specifically, but California alone, for doing small business involving food, with the costs and all the implementations for wage increase, just everything. Every year, it used to be a moderate amount. Things would go up, which was understandable. Then it was leaps and bounds, where you're just going, Jesus, how much do I have to adjust in order to sustain and, you know, still not feel like you're ripping somebody off? So
you did, you know, you did put a Subway out of business. That was impressive.
That was cool. They literally shared a wall with
me. Right.
And I was really excited about them leaving at first. But what I did see over a window of time was that I missed the competition, because people would come to go to one or the other, and effectively we would end up absorbing customers that would be going to Subway because they would come check my location out without planning on it. That was college, high school, all walking distances from the place, but it was still a satisfactory thing because they were pretty brash. owner was a dick. So that felt good. But other than that, it was a little victory for us.
Because I totally get what you're saying, because I this is years ago. I thought about going into real estate. I'm talking like 20 years ago. And I'm like, I don't want to be eating dinner and getting a call at like 7 o'clock that someone wants to go see a house. Like I don't want that. So like, listener, Chris and I would, you know, we'd go on vacations together with our families. And Chris or Jason, Sean, you guys don't even know. Like, we'd be on vacation, and I remember this one house in Lake Tahoe. We were going on vacation. Like, the internet wouldn't work, Wi-Fi or whatnot. And Chris found that this one bus stop by this 7-Eleven, his phone would work there, and he was having to do inventory from this bus stop like daily before we could go do anything. And it's like, that would just suck. Robin, you've been in the radio industry for what, 30
years? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was there ever a time where you were at a station where it was just like, I don't know if it can get any better than this. Like, just the team just gelled, where you're like, ah, man, this is so good.
You want my honesty here?
Yeah.
It took me until I came to work with Dave Pratt and Rob Trigg So you're talking 30 years in AM/FM radio. No, you never felt secure. You did have fun with some of your coworkers, but in that industry, I've told everybody, look, this is how it goes down. You've got the guy with the hand ready to shake your hand out, but you got to watch where his other hand is at because it's behind his back waiting for you to turn around to stick the knife in you.
Right.
So for the most part, there were some cool places I worked, but there's always somebody who's looking to get your job. They feel threatened because you come in the door. And, you know, it took me until I started working here at the network. So I've been here 5 years. This is the first place in the industry I have ever felt like this is a family. I've ever felt comfortable. I don't feel threatened. We have fun here. We've had interns come and go. You know, they basically let me do what I need to do. I'm mm-hmm. not micromanaged. They trust me to take care of you guys when you come in here to do your shows. And being the face of the network on a daily basis, that's a lot of responsibility. But to me, it doesn't feel threatening. It doesn't feel bad when I come in here. This is my home. And it took 30 plus years before I ever felt that way in this industry.
But now you're
wow, who,
but now
who
you're
would have
feeling
thought that the dad podcast would have that effect on people.
Well, yeah, that's pretty awesome, Chris. I mean, you
Jason,
know,
we're changing lives.
Well, obviously. Yeah. And speaking of that, Yarborough, why the hell aren't you in here? Sam, I'm gonna bust
yeah, you
chops.
Said it was too. You said it was too too stressful.
I was.
Robin and I were trying to decipher what that meant.
No, I'm doing Christmas lights today. I'm doing external things outside.
So he's doing honeydew
here.
Gotcha.
He's doing honeydew.
Yeah.
I'm getting. She's gonna kill me. I'm getting guilted into this because it's so late in the month already.
Now, wait a minute. Guilted it. That's part of your job as the dad, though, right?
No. I got to finish, Robin. Yes, it is my job. But it did not help that your employer, we watched a show that he was on with his family yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just sitting there on the couch going, oh, is this planned? Look at the setup they did. Oh, they won the competition for the best Christmas setup. Okay. So I'm doing that today, and I'm not putting that off another day.
Yeah. Good luck in making it look as good as the Pratt Brothers. That's a lot of work, dude.
Did they win?
Not doing that.
Yeah,
not
they
doing
did
that.
Win.
Brothers capable of
yeah.
that.
Yeah, they won the great Christmas light fight on ABC.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
You know, going back to, I'm gonna rewind a little bit and just kind of go back to that, you know, work life balance. And Chris, you were talking about being on vacation, and I know a lot of the things that we talk about is, you know, things that you know we've also learned from our dads. And I remember that, you know, my dad was pretty busy throughout, you know, throughout my childhood and whatnot. But when we were on vacation, and this still sticks to me, kind of with what I do also, he's like, I've got zero reason to call him to work. The only Good. Possible thing that they're going to tell me is going to be bad news. So why would I want to hear that?
Well, it's just like him being at home, too. Never mind.
I'll say, Chris.
No, my dad was my dad was the same way. He I remember I believe he would not call in. He had to call in one time. I think the stock market was like plummeting, and we're about to get on to a cruise ship. And it's he's frantically having to. My mom would have to correct me on this. I think he was calling clients or something like that, because once we got on the ship, there was no talking to anybody. You wouldn't have known it for the rest of the trip, but that's the only time I ever remember him there ever being any sort of work getting in the way of a trip.
Mm-hmm. And I just know that myself, as well as, you know, my wife, we've talked about it throughout our child's entire lives, because what, you know, obviously none of our parents had phones and computers, and we can absolutely both go home and turn on our computer and continue to work very, very easily.
I hate
and we need to be very conscious not to do that, right?
Because yes.
because that does get into family time and whatnot. So
I think it has a lot to do with your where your kids are at in life too. One of the things we're sure. talking about is trying to be done by the time our kids are, you know, out of school by 4 or 5 p.m. Yet here we all are on a Thursday at noon, all being able to be on a podcast because none of us has the 9-to-5 job. And, you know, there's just much of an argument to say it's better for your kids and your family life to not have that 9-to-5 job. There's not many dads, especially, who could go in to their kid's classroom and be a volunteer. It's right. pretty unusual for a kid to be able to have their dad be a baseball coach, right? Or a soccer coach. It's pretty cool to be able to have that. And I don't know many people nowadays that do the 9-to-5 thing because of their families. They found a way to kind of play both sides. My dad left for work at 7 a.m. and came home at 5:30, 5 days a week for like 40 years. That's what he did yeah. every single day.
And to let you guys know, I am, you know, honored, you know, and I'm able to do this with you guys now, for the first time in my entire career. A year ago, I wouldn't have been able to do this because I was working that 9-to-5 where I was very, very busy as either a therapist or a clinical director or a supervisor or something like this. And, but yeah, that 7:30, like your dad, basically. And this is the first time that, I've had the opportunity to kind of create that own schedule. So
I know my dad worked, I think it was like 5:30 to 2:30. He was a stockbroker, so he would go off of, you know, New York's hours. And so it was 9-to-5, but he was able to leave early. And I know he would always then go to the gym afterwards. I think he would have hated life if he wasn't able to do that. But going back to what Robin was saying, where she's just found it right now, that's why I brought up, you know, my boss leaving, because I've had that for the past 3 years, and I had never experienced that before either. I'm 46, so that's working for 20, almost 25 years. And just from 43 to 46, experiencing just this complete team environment where you genuinely enjoyed going to work because you loved the people that you worked with. I mean, I love my students dearly, but there's the other side, you know, the behind the scenes side, the work family. And for 3 years now, it's just been awesome. Like, I'll give you an example. I mean, so I technically have two bosses, a general manager and a club manager. And three of us we're very good friends. And for two weeks now, they've been in on this joke against me where getting this little Christmas bonus, and they kept saying that it was going to be on this week's paycheck. And then I got this week's paycheck, and then that bonus wasn't on there. And then I go into the office to explain, hey, that looks like my Christmas bonus wasn't on the check. And then the GM goes to the accounting, like, I think Chris needs to talk to you. Apparently his Christmas bonus wasn't on the check. And then the accountant's like, well, no, that's going to be on a separate check. They've had this thing this whole time. These two of them have ganged up on me that, no, Chris, expect that this money's going to be on your check. And then they scared the hell out of me because it wasn't. It's just that kind of fun. I mean, I've told Chris so many stories of good times at work. So I'm just hoping it doesn't change. Cause I know I could tell with the way Robin was talking, like, she is so happy to be here. And that's just like the best feeling. Jason, you have to have experienced that, I'm sure, at the fire department, where it's just at some point the team was just, man, this is such a good freaking team.
Yeah, absolutely. This will sound cliche, but I actually really do feel like those guys are part of my extended family that I work with. And I really try to mentor guys when they, it's strange because you work with guys who are 22.
It sounded really cliche.
You work with guys who are 22 and then you work with guys who are 50, 55 to 60. So you have this family dynamic instead of people kind of all being around the same age of the older guys, mentoring the younger guys in everything from, you know, financial to relationships to being a good firefighter and knowing the job well. So some teams are obviously better than others. But I think that has a lot to do with who's in charge of the group. And if you can make everybody find where they're at in life and mesh with them all in life. But it's hard because the goal in where I'm at right now as a captain is to try to get my younger guys to promote. So the best guys promote quicker and earlier and catch on faster. And then the best guys leave your team quickest. So yeah, that's tough.
That happened on Chicago Fire last night. I was watching.
Oh my gosh.
I was watching another episode.
I love
that show. It's so unrealistic.
Nope. It's exactly how it is.
Shut up. they have a husband and wife working in the same house. That cannot happen, can it?
Mm-hmm.
It can?
Yeah.
In the same firehouse?
Yeah, it's happened, and it's also happened in the police department.
No way. That's allowed?
60% of people in this lifetime usually meet their spouse or their potential spouse at their workplace. That is
I'm
a
talking
statistic.
About just specifically
yeah, it has
police
happened.
And fire.
It has happened.
Jason's first guest on his podcast were married firefighters. Just saying.
It happens.
That's true. They
I need
work
to start paying more
time,
attention when you guys are talking.
I think, really do.
I do. I forgot about that. So Robin's correct, obviously, Jason. Or does that depend on...
The guy's actually admitting issue. I'm right.
What's that?
Never mind.
I'll bet you there'd be some issue in the department if they actually got married or if they were a known couple with putting at the same house. But obviously... there's times where people meet and start dating and they're at the same station, but I don't know.
Okay. Interesting. I thought for sure that could not be allowed.
I just told you it's all real. Chicago Fire is exactly my fire station. Earlier today, I was at six high rise structure fires.
It's a documentary. Next week, we were going to do a whole segment on Chicago Fire.
Just so Maybe you guys not. Know, I would absolutely let this happen, the four of us, Robin too, at a firehouse, if you guys ever want to do it.
Wait, what?
I'm inviting
We're all
you all
doing
to my
it
firehouse.
At a firehouse.
Yep. Yep. Go ahead. Put your mind in the gutter.
Can I bring my wife?
Can I slide down the pole?
Yes. Robin wins.
Robin wins.
You can take that however you want, but I actually want to go down that pole. Just looks fun.
Robin's not letting this go.
Well, it's a firehouse. Dude, it's a firehouse. Come on.
Jason, has there ever been a time, I guess maybe you can't answer this because you're going to offend the guys now, but was there ever a time over the years where there was a period where like, this is the best team I've ever been on?
I wouldn't say there was one, but no. I would say that there's like a top three or top five. Yeah.
Gotcha. I also thought about this since, Jason, you brought it up with all of us not having 9-to-5 jobs.
I wanted to say something really quick because I do. They just run on different days. And going back to the flip side of it, what Jason was referring to, I love the block time that I'm there because I go in, I work, and then I go home. And that is such a foreign thing to me. I didn't have a chance to say because we could have gone for quite a while with that. But on the flip side, I love, like, to the fact I told the guy I work with, oh, this is like vacation to me. And he looked at me just dumbly, like, what are you, what the hell are you talking about? And I had to just explain, you know, all of the things where the concept of going in, working, and then leaving was a foreign thing. So it was exciting to me and still is. I just, I look at it as a blessing, you know?
I think you and I both thrive on structure. I like that stuff. I like knowing what's going to happen, what time, what uniform, all that stuff too.
I'm not sure that's what you two thrive on, but I don't want to talk about that on the show.
Well, it's easier letting somebody else take care of the main responsibility, yeah. Like the owner. You just come and go, and you don't have to worry about all that crap, like what, you know, Chris was saying, or owning his own business. You're on the clock 24/7. Something goes wrong, you're responsible.
The flip side of what you guys were talking about earlier is great managers, leaders, mentors, that kind of group. I had the flip side of that where I had great staff. And when I would see them go, I'd just be like, oh, shit. This is going to be a hard one to get back to this point. Because every year I would watch the doing interviews whenever I would do them, it exponentially got worse. every batch that I did, pretty much the same age group, but core ethics and work, they just came in with less every time. And what I found me getting excited about, I'm just like, are you really getting excited about this? Yeah, that's the best one you have, dude. You got to go with that.
No, so
that realization sucked. That was rough. And it's probably even worse now after the last 2.5 years. But, you know, I'll leave that alone.
No, but that's a great point you make about having the great staff. Because I think a leader or a boss can, you know, they can certainly create the structure and the environment and push you to do your best and maybe even, you know, get beyond even what you thought your capabilities were. But when we're talking about, I think what like Robin was describing and what I'm describing is just that moment. You can think of it like a sports team. Yes, we have this great coach, but for this period of time, for some reason, everybody on the team, no matter their personalities, they just mesh, and it just becomes this special thing that you can't replicate that. It just happens. And so that's what I've been thinking about this week.
Chris, yeah. I think that it, as far as the, kind of the challenge and the thing that you're going through right now, you know, I think that when you were in your 20s and you were that, you know, more green employee, you did need to rely more on the, you know, the mentors there. And it was a bummer when a boss left or whatnot, because now what's going to happen with my job, and is it going to be as fun? And what I'm getting at is, you know, now with who you are, we're old men now, right? So you are that guy.
Yeah.
You are the guy that is bringing in the fun and bringing in the work environment. And, you know,
no, that's
you
true.
You mentioned that you work closely with two guys. Well, guess what? You're a third of it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, wherever you go, there you are. And you're going to be able to, you know, I think I want to say with you pretty comfortably now, bring that to wherever you go.
No, and you're an exotic dancer, and you're describing your client. You never mind.
Thank it's like, you, who are you Sean. Referring to?
I don't even know what I'm talking about. here's the other thing that I was thinking about in relation to our jobs, and going back to like what Jason's talking about with us having, you know, different jobs and hours and everything. I do think, don't you think we're younger than our dads? like when our dads were 46, because we're 46, Chris, you're 44? 38.
Whoa, he's a youngster.
Shut up. How old are you, Chris? I should know
43.
This. 43, yeah. 46, 43.
But you're right. Our parents were a hell of a lot older at this age than we are.
They are.
Yeah, they were. Yeah.
Like, I'm in a trucker hat and a hoodie.
You were complaining about the
and
potential
flip-flops.
Of having to wear shoes
right.
to a podcast. Dude.
My dad would have been in a suit. We just came back from Vegas in August together. Our dads were not putting guy trips together to Vegas. Robin just made a joke about I'm going to go on the pole. I don't think her mom's making that joke.
It's not a stripper pole. Let's get that clear.
It's a stripper pole.
Is that what the firemen do on that? Well,
You're Googling
cool.
stripper poles right now, and I could see it.
She's looking up firemen calendars.
Yes.
Well, come on, the firemen. Exactly. Exactly. Now, if the firemen are stripping on those poles, that's a whole different story, what? Right, ladies? I mean, there's women that listen to this. Come on now, let's just be honest.
There's we'll a
call
lot.
It, yeah, let's just call it what it is. Firemen are hot. Period.
I think everybody knows that.
Yes.
Let's keep this conversation going.
Except the captains.
Oh no, those are the ones in charge.
Yeah.
See? That puts it in a whole different level.
Jason wins. I know this.
Well, you were beating up on him last week, so we gotta give him some high praise.
I missed him.
Yeah.
Why are we younger?
That's a great question. You know what I think about is how many of your friends and us work out and what do you do for a workout? And then think about your parents and what they did at this age for a workout. And I go, why is this generation more overweight? I think about that because I feel like we're younger and we do more for sure. I think about my parents and it was maybe mom did jazzercise and maybe dad walked around the block a few times. Did you guys' parents lift weights and work out hard?
My dad did. He was in the gym 6 days a week. Yeah.
Yeah. Chris's dad. I remember
he
Chris's dad
out.
Was probably working out more than anyone I knew.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember my dad. Oh my God, I can't believe I did this. Because it wasn't even true. I was just trying to be funny. Shockingly, he's in the gym. He's now on a bike, and he's just having a conversation with the person on the bike next to him, who happens to be somewhat attractive. And I just walk up. Hey, Dad, flirting again? And I was.
What was his name?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
Oh my! I don't understand how he didn't just punch me right in the face. Yeah, I really did that. But why are we younger? Like, I'm looking at the way everybody's dressed here.
Mindset.
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
I like what Robin said.
This is a deep issue because you have the next generation who we are. The four of us, I think, are pretty worried about. But I feel like our parents probably felt the same way about us. So now we're growing up and we dress younger and we probably act younger than they did. And maybe the next generation is just that next iteration of that.
I don't know.
Well, it sounds like you have the answer. So go ahead. Preach.
I don't have the answer. That's why I'm wondering this.
But you're kind of disagreeing with everybody. So
I am? I haven't even said anything. I just told a story about my dad on a bike.
I think the older generation was taught to act and be a certain way. And I mean, you were taught to eat your vegetables and take care of yourself to a certain degree. But as parents got older, they became more sedentary. They didn't do much of anything. Most of the time, I mean, my dad was 40 years old when I was born. So by that point, he'd go to work, come home, sit on the couch, fall asleep, get up and eat dinner, go out in his shed and work, and then come back in, watch TV, and go to bed. So he never really spent time with us. And I recall most of my friends' parents kind of going through that same thing. They were very sedentary. They would sit at home and do nothing but just watch TV. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, listening to you guys talk, you're taking more of an active interest in what your children do. And, you know, I just went to a concert with my son, and my son is not much younger than you boys. My son's 37. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm 55. So I started when I was young, but we were at a rock concert
right
over the weekend, and we had a blast. And this is what him and I do. And I think it's just the fact that our parents, a lot of times it was like, go outside and play. They didn't do anything, right. But you guys are active. You're out yeah. doing things with your kids. I mean, you're a tennis coach, for Christ's sake. You're doing activity. Right. So I think that's why we're a lot younger than our parents were.
And that's that was the other question I had, was why did it shift, or how did it shift, or maybe it's why, that dads do more than our dads did?
Oh, I hear that from your mom all the time.
Is it because most of them had the 9-to-5 job, so they didn't have the flexibility, or has the workforce changed? Because, you know, I know I talked about this on an earlier episode. My dad never did the dishes. He never picked me up from school. He wasn't able to pick me up from school. All of us do all those things, but it's not just because it's us. It's just like now normal that dads do a lot of stuff.
Cultural equality between men and women has made leaps and bounds. And I think it's in the right direction that we're seen as much more equal. If you look at the ads from the 60s and the 70s, they're so sexist, man. If you look at some of those things that pop up on your Facebook as
yeah, but most to be of it, most now. Of it was true.
There we go.
Hey now.
So I'm against most of the things that are
Robin
happening
left again,
emasculating manhood. But I think getting to equality is huge. And then I also think that we as guys realize how important it is to be involved in your kid's life and what the real valuable parts of life are. And we want to be a part of that, which relates right back to how much you're working versus your family life.
And along the lines of what Jason's talking about, how busy are our wives, guys?
Yeah.
They're just as busy, right?
Yeah.
I know that with Betsy and my wife and comparing them to my mom and my mother-in-law that were able to stay at home and, there's no reason why I should expect my wife to do more than 50% of anything, because she works really, really hard.
Exactly.
I mm-hmm. love that. That's so mm-hmm. cool that you say that, because, you know, coming from the generations past, they don't talk like that. So it's really cool that you guys actually give credit to your significant other, your spouses, and let them know just how important you think what they do is, you know, is all part of it. Because,
It's a team effort. I mean, it really is. It's like, well, I can't do it. Well, I'm kind of tight at this time. I'll make this change to make it happen. And then somehow you'll both get together and be there for an event. It just.
And understanding the importance of the masculine side of raising kids too.
Oh yeah.
Wow. You guys just really got to me for saying all that stuff. So that's really cool. Your wives are lucky. Okay. Let's just call it what it is, because I've not had that experience in marriage, so that's pretty cool.
I remind you
just
that.
Remember
I
that
remind
Chris
her of that
totally
every
disagreed.
Day. I did not disagree. Lord.
Is that what you make your wife call you?
Lord. Sir. Everybody has to call me sir.
Not me.
No, not Rob.
Not in my house. Not You're in Rob. My house, buddy.
Just remember who's putting the mics to on or off.
No, but I'll think about things, because, like, I know my kids don't know any better because they've just grown up with dad has been able to pick them up from school. Dad has been able to take them to practice. And they... They take it for granted. I know that.
Maybe now, but again, when they become adults, it's going to be appreciated.
I think about that all the time.
Yes.
I do think that.
It will
that.
Be. It will be.
This is all the stuff that's not going to be realized until another 20 years or so.
I would say mid to late 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And you're probably teaching them that it's valuable to do that for their kids.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Exactly.
Sorry, Chris.
No, it's exact words.
No, because I think about that. I'm like, and I will think about like particular things where I'm like, my dad never did that. And I had a great dad, but it was like my dad never came upstairs and played Nerf basketball with me. And I wasn't asking him. I don't think any of you guys did this either. Like, hey, Dad, you want to play 1v1 up in my room, and then you actually have an actual basketball game? We wouldn't have done that
because our parents weren't cool like that.
They
weren't cool. No,
they were great.
They just weren't cool.
They didn't do that stuff.
No,
we do that. I feel guilty if I pass up on an opportunity, because maybe I've just started dinner and I'll say no, I can't do that right now, and I'll feel bad, and then I'll think, well, I do that almost every day. I didn't do that with my dad like once, so I don't know. I think we're doing a good job.
Definitely, man.
Yeah, Christian, the other day, you know, my kids are older too, and Christian, the other day, we're going home from somewhere together. And he's like, hey, Dad, let's go out to dinner. Let's go grab some food together. And I do not have time to go do that. And it's like, yeah, we're going to do that. Every single time he wants to hang out, that's got to be priority one. And you got to put everything else aside.
That's
the kind of stuff they'll remember.
Yes. Like, I remember that stuff with my dad. I mean... Mm-hmm. It didn't happen as often as what we do, but man, those were the best memories. But I probably didn't appreciate them until I was older. So I totally agree with Robin.
Wow, that's twice you've said that today. I'm gonna have to write that down.
You recorded it.
Yeah, I have the blackmail.
I do need to correct something before we get out of here. We can go a little bit longer, I think. Chris, I got upset with you on the show last week from Disneyland because I asked you, have you seen any hidden Mickeys? And you acted as if I was a dumbass for not spotting any. And then I thought
of protocol. I automatically go default I know. Dumbass.
I thought about it and I was like, well, no, those asses across the street have a whole book on where the hidden Mickeys are. So you knew where they were. I was looking for them on my own.
To find them. Oh, no. No, we'd seen them before. That's why my wife bought the book. But she's also a huge Disney buff as well. And it was fun for Ben at the time, so we bought the book. So it was like a coffee table book. Somebody's over, take a look at. Here's a whole other game you could play when you're waiting in line, bored or whatever, you know.
What we need is a coffee table book about coffee tables.
Oh, yes, boy.
It has little legs on the book.
It even has a built-in coaster.
Robin, have any idea what you're talking about?
Yeah, of course I do.
Okay. What am I talking about?
I may be blonde, but I'm not clueless.
That was a good movie. Actually, Sean, I saw Clueless on a date with one of your sister's friends. It's a true story.
Everybody's sister's
friends. Went on a date with one of my sister's friends?
She was younger than your sister.
All right.
Yeah, now the secrets come out.
Yeah. We went and saw Clueless. It was a good movie.
Good story.
Great story. Chris, I did want to ask you this. What was it like doing the show from Disneyland?
Oh, that was actually kind of fun. except for the fact that there was this woman mad dogging me for about 30 minutes because I was at the desk that she claimed is hers, where she does her work comfortably, which I found out after the podcast. But it was fun. It was fun to do, just kind of take a break and do it like in that Grand California. It's just a perfect hotel for my money. It's amazing. So it was nice to just do that. And you take an elevator down to levels and then you walk right into California Adventure. It was fun.
Listen, if you can see Sean while Chris is describing this story, you would have thought he was asleep. Do you do this with your clients?
Well, I try not to.
How many times do your clients say, Mr. Johnson, are you paying attention?
I am just genuinely trying
Dr.
to pick
Johnson.
What I'm talking about.
Bueller.
I'm putting myself into the Grand California and picturing what Chris is talking about.
He's shrinking exactly, this whole conversation.
No, he knew where he referred to where I went when that came up. I said, oh, that's actually where I'm going. Third floor Grand California. That was
that
his
true.
Recommendation.
No, that is so, true. I'm just saying, I think Sean was thinking about what he wants to have for lunch while you were telling that story.
Yeah, I'm hungry.
Yeah, so are we all.
Yes.
Bring up food.
Chris, what was, you tell the listeners what happened on, I think it was your last ride. Space Mountain?
Oh, that was great. After we had done the Club 33, went with Sean and his buddy Mark. We did that before they left. When we were in line, I was explaining that we were 0-for-2 getting on that ride. So we waited in line for a while, breakdown. You know, go back, try it again another day, breakdown. So the third time we got on, when we all went together after lunch, and then we went again at night, and the ride broke down when we were on it, and we had just come out of the last drop into this tunnel at the end, and there was an announcement that they were having problems, and you know, next thing you know, you hear people coming from the end of the tunnel. The way that they got the carts out of there is these two gals that were operators for the ride walked down into the area next to the track and literally pushed our cart out. And we were laughing because when you come out of the tunnel, all you look at is this audience of disgruntled, pissed off people. And I'm recording these women pushing this thing. And I had to like kill the laughter immediately because I felt like a prick.
I just want you to know, Sean made sure to look like he was paying attention during that entire story.
What?
I'm just glad you didn't have to see all of the Space Mountain stuff, because I think that would have ruined it for me.
We were I don't know, 10 yards away from having that view, so we lucked out.
Do you find the chocolate chip cookie?
They don't have the chocolate chip cookies anymore.
Oh my gosh.
They took that,
again, I'm old.
Yeah.
What's the chocolate chip cookie?
That it was like one of the planets that you saw when you're in Space Mountain on the ride.
It was like meteors. For the chocolate chip.
Yeah, oh, I did hear this.
Meteors.
I did hear this.
It's in my hidden Mickey book.
Is that a coloring book? Anyway, guys, this was fun. Real quick, did any of you guys go to work with your dad?
Yes.
Did you want to
never
do?
Did
you ever? No. When you went to work with your dad, were you like, Jason? No.
No.
Sean, did you ever think I want to do this?
Not quite. So, my dad was a doctor, and when I was a little kid, I used to go with him just to go and do quick office rounds. And then when I was older, probably, you know, late teen, either a senior in high school, maybe even home from college, I went to watch him do a small surgery.
Did you break junior mints?
I had no junior mints. That was the
call.
Very refreshing.
And I didn't think it would be a big deal. And I was just standing up. Do you need a chair or anything? Like they were being very nice to me. And no, that's okay. As soon as there was a squirt of blood, I practically passed out. Oh. I need a chair. So that's when I knew that, chances are me following in those footsteps wasn't going to happen.
Jason,
I knew before that, but.
Gotcha. Jason, even though you didn't go to your dad's office, but you would see your dad, you know, come and go morning, come back night in a suit and everything. Was that something that ever intrigued you, or is that something where you saw that and you were like, and is that partly why maybe you went in a totally different direction? Cause you're just like, I cannot do an office thing.
Maybe we could do a whole episode on this, but my dad was always disappointed in his choice of, he was a teacher, a high school music teacher for like 5 years. And he left because when my mom got pregnant with my brother, he knew that he wasn't going to be able to take care of the whole family and have my mom not work on a teacher salary. And maybe 5 years ago, before he got really bad with dementia, he was still talked about that at least every few months and how much of a bummer that was to him. And that he wishes his whole life career would have been different. So yeah, to answer your question on this high note that we're going to end the show on, I didn't really want to do that and neither did he, but I was always bummed that I never went and saw his office. I don't think he was real proud of his job, to be honest with you. And he ended up being the president of the company he was at, and he still wasn't real happy with the choice he made to be at that job. So yeah.
Maybe some of it had to do with you.
Oh,
probably.
Yeah.
And Chris, then as far as being a full blue collar guy, cause I don't have any of those in my family besides myself.
Right.
That was probably more of a rebellious thing. I knew I could never sit at a desk 9 to 5. So which activity could I do that was the most fun between military, police, fire, what fulfilled me most? And, you know, I'll say the grass is always greener. Like, you guys did a show without me about careers and what you did and what you wish you would have done and if you had it to do over. And I listened to that, and there's still some things where I think everybody has those thoughts of, what if I would have turned left instead of turning right?
Oh,
what
sure.
would my life look like?
Robin would be on a pole.
I don't think so. No.
Dude, she's pretty streetwise, Chris. I
know
she careful.
Is. She's going to kill me.
Going to hit you with a
Well,
pole.
Here's Chris. Something to end on a good note with that, since you're picking on me. Now's my turn. But my son, his dad was out of his life by the time he was 2.5, so it was on me. And a lot of times, working in this industry wasn't easy. I worked in television full-time and radio part-time, plus I was a writer for a magazine and an assistant editor. Wow. So my kid, on weekend overnights when I worked at the radio station, I'd bring a cot. He would stay up with me until he started falling asleep. He would fall asleep on the cot.
That's awesome.
And then with the TV station during pledge drives, because I worked for PBS, Monday through Friday, I worked there. And then he was at school. But on the weekends when we did pledge drives, he came down to the set with me because it was always catered. And all the women loved him because he was such a cute little sweetheart. Sure. And he would just walk around and collect the pledge cards and help me out. And then, of course, sit and eat the free food all day. But, you know, I mean, that's the whole thing. I couldn't afford full-time babysitters to work jobs. Mm-hmm. So he got to go with me on a lot of places. He helped me deliver the magazine, and he went into... And you're going to find this funny. He went into strip clubs when he was like 10 and 12 years old. He went into bars and all kinds of t-shirts and head shops and even like the Castle Boutique. He was going in those stores when he was like 10 and 12 delivering the magazines because they carried our magazine. And everybody loved him because, you know, tall, cute little blonde-haired blue-eyed boy. But he always hung out with mom. He hung out with the musicians. He did really cool things that kids would probably pay an arm and a leg to do when they're adults. So I think by paying attention to our children, that makes more of a difference. And you guys may not see it now with your kids and they may complain, but I guarantee you when they hit their mid to late 20s, even after that, you're going to see just how much what you're doing now makes an impact on them for the future.
That's what I keep telling myself.
You'll see it. You'll see it.
You'll see it. I know
it.
You're right.
Yeah.
I know you're right. All right, guys. Anything else before we get out of here? Wise words from Robin. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Robin.
All right. Sean, go get some lunch.
Will do.
All right. We'll see you guys next week.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to the Dad Podcast with Chris Brewer. Join us next time as we continue our conversations about everything dad, right here at StarWorldWideNetworks.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.